Hello, cannabis business minds, and hope you are doing well. On today's show, we get to talk with a brilliant entrepreneur, also a naturopath, who is and had been paving the way in the California cannabis industry starting in 2006. So we can hear a little bit about her journey from no regulation to really kind of creating a delivery service and then multiple and managing those, to then moving to Jamaica and working with the Rastafarian community and really pushing the way with the UN to cannabis reform and legalization. But we're going to hear the business side of it, but we're also going to hear with what I believe is one of Dr. Lakeisha Jenkins' biggest passions. We're going to hear the importance of our well-being and what the cannabis plant, which I'm sure a lot of you already know, but again, hearing it from somebody that is an expert, can really do for us, do for our bodies, really help us manage our stress, manage our entrepreneurial kind of journey, let's say. It is such an amazing interview. She has a bountiful amount of energy and charisma, and she is definitely paving the way on her own entrepreneurial journey, but for many of us. She's having discussions with some of the top leaders in the world about pushing reform. So get that pen, get that paper, and take out some notes, because there are going to be some amazing nuggets in this episode of Cannabis Business Minds. Cannabis Business Minds, we train and mentor professionals, entrepreneurs, and aspiring entrepreneurs on how to confidently find their place in the legal cannabis and hemp industries. Come on and join us at CannabisBusinessMinds.com.
I know I make it look sort of seamless and simple, but I have a really good support system between my family that I have here, because I have no other family besides my kids and my husband here. And then my team, you know, like of people, whether it's my team that's running things in the United States or my team that I have on the ground here, I have a really good, a very small, but really solid team of people that help me to do the things that I do. So,
oh my gosh. Well, that's just so lucky. And I'm so grateful for you for that, because having a support system, small or big, but just a support system, that's the way I think life needs to be, right? And being able to have that and allow you to do all of the things that you want to do. Because it seemed like from our last interview, you are on such a big mission, like a big health mission.
Oh, I am. That's the thing, is I'm on such a huge health mission. And I don't know if I shared with you on the last interview, but I work with the Rastafarian community here. And trying to get, it was kind of like the legacy farmers in California. Like they sort of got pushed out of the market, like when legalization and everything happened. And even though they were sort of promised that they would always have a place and things like that, it ended up happening in a way where they just didn't. And the thing is I see the same thing happening with the Rastafarian community here, which the culture around cannabis was built on them. Like literally, you know what I mean? And now you have all these people coming in from all types of other countries and investing in the industry. And it's just like, they're not getting their place. Like they're literally getting pushed out. There's like Sacramento, right? So it's like, okay, you can smoke all the cannabis you want or like whatever. But as far as like commerce and making money, like you're not allowed to do that basically, because there's no provision in the law for it. So when I saw that and I came here, I was, that just can't happen. Listen, you've got to figure out a way to, you know, incorporate them. So my new husband, he's Rasta. He's actually a part of the Bobo Shanti. So the Bobo Shanti is like one of the strictest mansions of Rastafari. There's like a lot of different mansions of Rastafari. So there's like Nyabingi and 12 tribes and like blah, 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 blah. But he's Bobo Shanti. So, and it's funny because like meeting him and really getting ingrained like in the culture and learning more and going to like Sabbath services and like different things like that. Mm-hmm. And so I sort of transitioned into adopting that faith, you know, like in being Bobo Shanti. And so then from there, they sort of like asked me if I would help them organize all of their cannabis business. And so it just happens that they're like the one Rastafarian group that has like the ultimate rights to sacramental cannabis, not just in Jamaica, but globally, because they have a United Nations charter. And then they like asked me to be their United Nations representative. You have no idea. Like the stuff that I'm doing.
And it's like, you're kind of like right in the way, right? Like there's no like, oh, how do you become a United Nations representative to represent and do all this? Like you are paving the way.
Like, I'm like, you want me to do what? To be, wait, what? You, well.
Okay, I'm going to.
I guess, you know what I mean? So it's like now I have the ultimate authority through the Ministry of Justice and the Bobo Shanti to grant sacramental rights. And because I have a cannabis company here,
yeah,
and I guaranteed them that we would make sure that we would be the authoritative body and there would be none diversion and those types of things, that we've created a channel through my company for them to be able to participate monetarily in the industry. We organize all of the cultivation, all of that, give them their standards and everything. We are the guaranteed buyer for all of their end product and do all of the processing. We have rights to manufacture, distribute, export, like, yeah, and then do all of their sacramental organizing, not just here, but there's Bobo Shanti everywhere. There's Bobo Shanti everywhere in the world, actually, even China. Like, there's Bobo Shanti everywhere.
Oh, wow.
And so, like, yeah. So when you said, like, you seem like you were on a mission. Like, yeah.
Does it seem somehow?
I have no idea.
But, like, when you got in this space, did you have any idea? Like, did you have, because I feel like there is this sacredness with the cannabis plant that's kind of guiding a lot of people on some pretty big missions. Did you have, because you got in, what, 2006, right? Or even earlier?
It was earlier on an informal level. You know what I mean? Like when we legalized and things like that, and I started researching and doing this and doing that, really like sort of getting into it, it was more on an informal level. 2006 was like my formal entry commercially into the industry. Yeah. So it's like, I had a little bit of a journey leading up to that, but it wasn't like, oh, okay, like this is what I'm going to do. And even in 2006, when it was like, I see all these people suffering and needing safe access and needing this and needing that and deciding to jump in so I could help be a part of that, you know, like blah, blah, blah. It still was just like, not, if you had have told me this would be like, so walk through the timeline. 2006, I started delivery service. 2010, we start our first retail location. 2011, I become a founder of the California Cannabis Industry Association, their first president. Open my second retail location in 2012, another retail location in 2014. Like running three retail locations, running an industry association, being on the board of the national association of that, and as the state representative for California, founding and chairing their minority business council, helping the people who've been disproportionately affected by the war on drugs, making sure that they have a place, doing all that, blah, 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 then transitioning internationally, working on international policy, being on the ASTM D37 committee, working on global cannabis policy, like working with New Zealand, working with Australia, working in Thailand, working with Italy, doing this, doing that, organizing Belize, organizing Jamaica, becoming like Bobo Shanti, being in charge of their cannabis business globally, being their United Nations representative.
And then having the energy and the excitement to do it all and so passionately, because like,
that's what I'm passionate about.
And for you, what, because you're an entrepreneur, but you're also a healer. And that's what's so cool, right? Like that you're blending both of them. When you look at kind of your timeline, because you're also a huge advocate of just looking at the roles that you're doing, really even finding kind of for the current position that you're in and for the Bobo Shanti, how do you even, like if you looked at yourself at a pie kind of chart, you've got entrepreneur, you've got advocate, you've got health advocate, where do you spend most of your time?
Mommying. No, okay. I'm going to be honest. Like, this is what I tell everyone. I have two God-given talents, business and being like, those are the two things that I happen to be like good at, you know? But if you say like, where is my heart? Like, where is my heart? It's the motherhood part of it. And it's not just the motherhood part where it's physically my own children. Mm-hmm. I think that is what gives me that sort of nurturing, building, supporting, and like that whole part of me, my core person, is also what helps me in business, because I treat I'm everybody's mom. Like, I treat everybody. I take care of everyone. I build everyone. I make sure that their lives are good and that I can help them. You know, it's like, it's like, what is that quote? Like, they say, like, when you meet somebody, like, leave them better than you found them. It's like, that's how I take an approach to like everything, because I'm happiest when I'm in the service of others. Honestly, like, that's my true passion. At the end of the day, I love helping people. I love that thing. And then it's like with my company and helping people to like build their business and build their dream. It's the same thing like being a mom. Like, I don't want to run your company every day. I have no desire. I have the time, the patience, nor the desire to run your company every day. But what I would love to do is take your dream and like help you build it into the beautiful thing and have it blossom and be like profitable and, you know, all of this stuff. And I'm like, oh, look at that little baby that I raised. Oh, go fly. Okay.
Let me get a postcard on one of your vacations. Let me come to the graduation. Like, do all of those kind of check-ins so you can watch somebody grow. Well, that's true leadership. I think when you think about it, that to me is true leadership, where you're helping somebody, you're helping a business, you're helping other entrepreneurs, you're teaching them how to do it. And then hopefully you're teaching them how to help somebody else. That's like the full extent of leadership.
That is it with me. And I do the same thing with my children, even like from them introducing them to like 4-H or different like leadership programs, things that can build them up. Having them learn from a very small age how to be independent, how to take care of themselves, how to have the tools in their toolbox to contribute positively to society, but also be independent and be able to stand on their own too. That's like the core of being an entrepreneur, and it's hard. And teaching them that it's hard. It's not going to be like, oh, I get this paycheck like every 2 weeks and like it's cool and I can depend on that. No, like, you're going to work hard. And then I teach everyone that I come into contact with that same thing. I'll tell them, like, this industry is going to chew you up and spit you out over and over.
I need to, like, just underline that, because to me, it's such a, first, why do you think that is? It's so competitive beyond any other industry. Is it because of the opportunists that are out there? Because there's truly no, I mean, there's finally rules? Like, why do you think it's that intense of an industry?
It starts with the regulatory climate and framework. That's really where it starts. Because if you don't have clear rules and guidelines, if this thing is being like formed and developed, and not only that, it's being formed and developed in different ways everywhere.
It's like, so frustrating.
There's no like, here, this is what you can do. Now, it's just like, here, this is what you can do. But you know what? Tomorrow we're going to change that. And you know what? Next week and next month, we're probably going to change that. And you know what? We heard these people over here are doing that. So now we're going to change it.
So yes, you're right. Like that whole aspect of continually changing and a costly change. It's not like, oh, I just changed it, which would still be detrimental. Oh, I just changed my social media handle or something like that. It's like, no, the way that you're packaging your products, the way that you're supposed to be lab testing, like those significant things, it's almost like a financial stab every change that happens.
You know what? The funny thing is, I work and lobby for the natural products industry just as much as I do for the cannabis industry. So cannabis like gets a lot of more attention because it's like hot, like, you know, like whatever. The natural products industry is not quite as sexy, like granola and stuff, but
granola is sexy, girl.
You know what I mean? To me it is, but anyways, but you know, so it's like, it's difficult because they don't understand that the fight for the natural products, like the nutraceutical industry and stuff like that. Like even the word nutraceutical doesn't sound like as nice and like as cannabis, like or whatever, but that's really what it is at the end of the day. Cannabis is a nutritional supplement, and we need to think about it that way. Phytocannabinoids, nutritional supplements. It's the same thing for the natural health industry. And it's like, I watched it happen before cannabis, and maybe, you know what? I just had an aha moment. Maybe that's why I understand, because through lobbying and with them, and then like watching how nutrition facts labels and how packaging and how little things like drove all the mom and pop businesses out because they couldn't afford compliance. Yeah. Like the cost of compliance was just so overwhelming. Yeah. It's like they literally legislatively bar you from participation. So it's not like they don't tell you that you can't participate. Yeah. They just make it so the barriers of entry are so high and so expensive that you can't. Like you can't physically keep up, and it's very, very, very difficult. And so that's what makes this industry so difficult, because if you're not ready to evolve and change and reinvent yourself, like every time that they do it, it's hard. And then think about entrepreneurs traditionally, right? Whatever gets you into entrepreneurship, you're like married to that. It's literally like your spouse or like your baby, like something, right? And you don't want to change. You don't want to change it. But especially like think about my vested interest in the cannabis industry is I got into it because I want people to be able to choose their own health options, because I lost my daughter to brain cancer, and the treatment of brain cancer, because I couldn't pick her own options and her own treatment. And that made me very, very angry. But if I held on to just that, and that's the only thing that I hold on what leaves me in this industry, and how at the core, that's what it is. But that can't be my own ideology all the time, because the regulatory framework doesn't allow that to be.
Yeah,
I have to be able to change. I have to be able to adapt. I have to be flexible. If I want my voice to always be there to help guide, so people don't lose sight of what's really important, patients at the end of the day, safe access at the end of the day, I have to be able to change, which is hard.
Oh, it's because the hardest thing, self-awareness.
It's hard. It's like I'm letting her pass away over again. Like I feel that, honestly, because it's like, gosh, I have to give up more and more a piece of what my talking points are and my voice is. I can't go in there always with that bleeding heart story, because people just turn a deaf ear. They don't want to hear that. So even though that's what drives me right here, what I put out for public consumption has to be a part of what the relevant conversation is.
Yes.
And I have to like reconcile with myself. How do I make the relevant conversation still resonate with what's in my heart? And that's the hard part, because people aren't always willing to adapt that way.
Yeah, and especially when they're in regulation and in this type of kind of business, where it seems like, you know, the unfortunate thing is, even over the last like 2-3 years, it's gone so much more corporate, where the conversation, even with stakeholders of, and you probably have much more to speak to with a lot of the international work that you've done, but you know, even with lobbying, it's like it's so important, as you're right, as your own self, to be able to still have that discussion. Because to me, this is what I really remember from our last interview. That is your why. But you're right, having to figure out how to not retune, but figure out the appropriate dialogue for the appropriate people while still being true to yourself is really a navigation. It's like, it's truly navigating conversations, which goes back to, I guess, why you're a strong business person. Because at some point, to me, as a leader or as an entrepreneur, you need to have your heart within it. And oftentimes in business, we tend not to see that. And being able to lead with your heart is so important, but also understanding how to truly navigate that communication. It's a skill. It's an art almost.
Oh my goodness. Like it really is. It really is. And the funny part about it is I happen to be proficient with honing in on a message and being able to deliver it.
Mm.
I absolutely hate it. Can I tell you?
Oh, I feel you. Do you kind of feel like a broken record?
I don't like do. I hate it all. I honestly, I'm effective, but I hate it. It's hard.
Is it because you don't feel authentic?
No, it's not that. I hate my own voice, number one.
Oh.
I never go back and listen to an interview or anything. Like once I'm done with it, like it's like I'm done with that and I will never revisit it again because I don't even want to see myself. It's cringy. Ugh, I don't want to see it. I'm done with that. And then there's like this, I think I truly probably at my core somewhere, mm-hmm. I have a fear of like public speaking and things like that. Like I probably do. But mm-hmm. when you give me a message that resonates with me, or if I have to talk about something that I'm passionate about, like all that flies out of the window. Yeah. You're going to hear me. You know what I mean? Like you're going to hear what I have to say because it's important to me and I'm passionate about it and I need you to feel me.
Yeah.
That's what it is. And so then I end up being very effective because it's that passion that drives me. But mm-hmm. if you were to like give me a script and be like, go stand up and like read this and say this, like I would probably like stare at you like deer in the headlights. I can't do it. But give me something that I'm passionate about. Yeah. And I think that you should be passionate about for whatever reason. And that's going to override all of that.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to deliver the message because I really feel like you need to hear it.
Yeah. Well, I think in this case, it matters so much, especially kind of pushing lobbying. When you think about all of the people that you've talked to and all of the, I guess, like a little bit sweaty palms, maybe conversations that you've had, can you share one of them with us and kind of the outcome of it?
I think it's probably, and it's still ongoing.
Yeah.
And it started from California trying to convince people, mm-hmm. and especially in this industry, that collaboration is like where we need to be. Like personally, the cooperative movement is like very near and dear to my heart. It's like everybody working together for a common goal. And then if you think about it, like I'm like this natural health doctor and I'm from California and I'm like vegetarian and stuff like that. You know, it's all that crunchy granola stuff. You know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Biotic, whatever. That's me. And people are like, miss me with that message. Like nobody wants to hear that. Like it's like, how much money can we make? How fast? Like, you know, blah, blah, blah. And so I have to constantly have that conversation with people about collaborating and working together. And then I have to bring the boring doctor on top of it and be like, this is a nutritional supplement. Like, this is a nutraceutical. Like, you need to think about it that way. And everybody's like, all fun. Let's smoke cannabis. Let's do this. Let's do that. And I'm like, no, we have an endogenous cannabinoid system and you need to supplement it properly, like for the maintenance of human life. And everybody's like, oh my God, here she comes again. But that is always my hard conversation and figuring out how to do that, especially with lawmakers and saying, listen.
Really? Will you
expand
on this? Because, and expand on that, I just want to plant a little seed in your mind. Collaboration, I believe, is 100% necessary in the space. For me, the big elephant in the room nobody really likes to talk about, and my kind of, I guess, boringness is like, hey, this is still federally illegal. This is also helping bigger corporations really kind of become more successful in the space and really harming the small mom and pop. So that's kind of, I think, mine from my own advocacy. But yeah. I'm curious, I want to get back to that, what you were saying with conversations with like lawmakers or legislative policy. Why is it hard for them to understand the science? And I guess just if you could start kind of experience it, kind of talking about kind of those conversations.
So first, my mantra is always cannabis is an agricultural commodity. That's hard for them to wrap their mind around. Mm-hmm. You go through like 60 years of reefer madness and like blah, blah, blah. And you know, this is a drug and it's a this and it's a that and like blah, blah, blah. And you simplify it down to it grows out of the ground. Like it's a plant. Calm down. Mm-hmm. It's an agricultural commodity. Let's just start there. that is like, no, we cannot think of it that way. And I'm like, but it absolutely is. And if we treat it as such, regulating it wouldn't be so difficult. Like, you're trying to make this into this like just overly cumbersome process when we already have regulations that apply to cultivation practices, manufacturing, everything in agriculture. Just apply the same thing. Like, just, I know it's cannabis, I understand, but take that part, just think about the plant part and apply it. That's hard, first of all. But then second of all, and I hate to say it, and it's a little bit controversial, but this is why I also voted no on legalization.
I love to hear people's opinions on this.
It's because when I ask why legalize cannabis and your answer is because it's our right and we should be able to, that does not resonate with lawmakers, okay? They have to create public policy and they have to always have public safety in mind. Mm-hmm. And when they have 60 years of reefer madness in their mind, you know what I mean? Like, this is a horrible drug. Like, this is like up there with cocaine and heroin. Like, and you're asking us to legalize it just because it's your right? That is so detrimental to the movement. It's so detrimental. Like, honestly, like the whole legalization thing for two reasons. It doesn't resonate with lawmakers at all.
Yeah.
But you know what does? Everyone gets sick and everyone gets old. Mm. And if you talk to them about their health and how you use this to mitigate the risk of like medical and health disparities even being developed, mm-hmm. or to help, you know, it in that, in marginalized communities that maybe don't have access to all of the healthcare, all of the this and all of that, because our endogenous cannabinoid system is our regulatory system. And if we learn how to supplement it nutritionally in the proper way, like medical and health disparities will like decline dramatically. Mm-hmm. If you prove that science part, talk to them about that. Almost everyone has somebody that's affected by like cancer or some other chronic degenerative or terminal illness, and make it make sense to them that way. How you use it nutritionally, what you need to do, how you can affect them in their own life in that way.
Yeah. That I really talk to the human, like talking to the human aspect. Because I always thought from when I've done lobbying it, as the CPA, I've always been more of like, oh, and this is like the economic benefits of legalization, which, you know, depending on who you're talking to, that's just a very small part of the conversation. But when you think about our healthcare system, that's absolutely right. And especially, I mean, I couldn't imagine if you only had 15 minutes with somebody, how you would even break down the conversation, because you're telling them about a system that they didn't even know about.
Right.
But I know you must have done it in 15 minutes.
Absolutely and positively. And that's it. It's like your elevator pitch, like, or whatever. So let's get back to the business. You know what I mean? The elevator pitch or whatever. So when I talk to people, and I've got this down, and it's so funny because even when I like introduce myself and things like that, or when I say something, they're like, that is really polished. Like, you must have said that like a lot. I'm like, absolutely and positively, it's my elevator pitch. I've got it down to a science. Because again, if there's something that I'm passionate about and I feel like you should hear it, I'm going to make sure that I give it to you however you need to hear it. It's not always about the message. Sometimes it's about the messenger and sometimes it's about delivery. Mm-hmm. And I've got it down to a science on how to say it in a way quickly that resonates with people. And you leave them, even if it's just like you planted the seed, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
You can't always expect to reap the harvest right after you planted the seed. But I guarantee you, in a conversation with me, you are going to understand a point at least enough to make you dive into research yourself. Because I've sparked that, like, you know what? Like, I need to look deeper into what she said. Mm-hmm. Maybe she's not able to give me all the information, but I guarantee you, after our conversation, you're going to dig a little bit deeper. Oh, yeah. I know for a fact.
Yeah. Is one of the best things I think about of just like not convincing people, but I guess opening someone's mind is seeing that aha moment with their kind of their shift or their curiosity. How is that? I mean, for you, like if you think you're a businesswoman, right? So if you compared these conversations with people, with governments, with people who might just be completely unaware of it, what's your kind of success rate if you can measure it?
I think that my success rate's pretty
I bet it was. That's why I asked you. Like, are you like a 99%?
It's up there. It's up there. You're going to incorporate. And I think it's because number one, it's like that one meme that you see that like says if a woman says, first of all, like she has pie crafts in charts, like so she's going to destroy you. You know, it's like that. Like I come to the argument like ready, like
Yeah.
see. And I start the conversation with, don't believe what I say, research what I say.
Oh,
You with that.
that's so good.
Like hit you with it, like boom, 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 boom. And I dare you to like challenge what it is that I'm saying because I know at the end of the day that what I'm saying is true because I've researched it backwards, forwards, and sideways. I consider myself a subject matter expert. So I dare you to, try to poke holes in it. Matter of fact, I want you to poke holes in it because
Yeah.
if you can, that gives me further ammunition, you know what I mean, to go back and get back on my A game.
Yeah. Oh
So.
my gosh, no, I feel you. I think that so often we have to remember that even if we're convincing somebody, one of the best ways that I've noticed in kind of presenting or trying to kind of convey a subject is like, can you let me know what you found wrong with what I've just said? Right?
Please.
Because it's the best way. Because if somebody found something wrong with what I said, well, good. I'm glad now I know. But if they didn't, then hopefully that would allow them to feel compelled to listen to what I had to say.
That is it right there. That is
Yeah.
it.
Oh man. Well, do you mind? Can we like switch gears a little bit? And could you talk to us about all the research, about the subject matter expertise? Because talking to you, I get to talk about business, but I get to talk about what you're finding as a doctor, as a naturopath. That was a broad, open question. I think that when we originally talked, the thing we kind of discussed was there's still this huge gap, this between kind of what needs to be kind of taught in our educational system. You mentioned a few times about how cannabis is a nutritional supplement and our endocannabinoid system. And the listeners have been in the industry, they're entrepreneurs, but I get schooled every time about this because it's the lens has always been business. Can you share with us what you want us to know specifically in 2020 as we're going through these crazy times of, I think ultimate stress and anxiety and kind of living in an era where there's been a pandemic?
Yeah, I'm going to start with like the relevance of the pandemic and then the research that just recently happened that said, okay, we think that cannabis consumption maybe lowers the number of binding sites that COVID can actually take hold. What? Okay. So now we go from like reefer madness to like this crazy like drug that's like cocaine and heroin and then like maybe it's like has some nutritional or medical benefits like to legalization to this and that to like now we're in a pandemic and you know what this particular plant could potentially
Yeah.
it's like how research right how research has evolved. So I say that to say this like how and why like why would cannabis even like how could that even like how does that even make sense? It makes sense because our endogenous cannabinoid system is one of the very first systems that's developed in our body. So it's developed very early in gestational age, very early, because it's a regulatory system. It regulates like your inflammatory response, your immune system, like your endocrine system. Like if you think you have this regulatory system that affects just about every other system in your body, like that we know like absolutely nothing about that we didn't like even discover like until like the 60s like or whatever and then quantify like its actual function like in the 90s like we had like no clue about this. You should know that number one, we're not at the point where we should be limiting it like in any way, shape, or form. we should be thinking about how do we support this system the same way we support anything else in our body. If we don't produce enough vitamin C, what do? Mm-hmm. You take a supplement, right?
Yeah.
If you don't produce enough iron or whatever, what do? You take a supplement, right? You either take a supplement, like a physical pill, something, drink, supplement, or nutritionally, you pick the foods that are rich in that thing so that your body can now take those nutrients and utilize them, choose how much it needs, and discard the rest without consequence. Okay, now apply that same theory and principle to the endogenous cannabinoid system and cannabis and why you need to supplement that system. If our brain produces endocannabinoids that mirror very closely in composition the phytocannabinoids that are found in cannabis, that means that that is the botanical vegetable, if you will, nutritional supplement to help build up our supply, because we're not going to produce enough, especially as we age, we're not going to produce enough to support that system optimally. So like if you have an iron deficiency, you know, you're anemic, like, or whatever, you're going to get some leafy greens. You're going to get some, you know what I mean? You're going to take spinach. Let's just get one for one. You know what I'm saying? You're going to take spinach and you're going to make sure you consume enough of that. You're going to take like maybe nettle leaf, because that's also high in iron. You're going to take those things. You're going to consume them. Your body's going to use the iron that it needs and discard the rest without consequence. Same thing you need to do, because as we age, we don't produce enough iron. So we have to supplement. We don't produce enough of, and you have this, like our nutrition pyramid, like, or whatever, that says what you're supposed to do. You're getting facts that say how much iron, how much vitamin C, how much all of that stuff you need. Where's the facts about the endogenous cannabinoid system? How many cannabinoids do we need in our body? Like, how much does it require to function and supplement every other system? What do we need to, and what we don't know? Okay, why aren't we trying to figure it out?
I mean, there's not funding for the research, which is frustrating, at least in the United States. So in all these other countries, hopefully there's much more funding. But Dr. Lakeisha, could you break down one thing for me? Because this is where I've been getting schooled lately. There's 483 compounds in the cannabis plant. Hemp was legalized. People are talking about CBD from, you know, industrial hemp, right? CBD is one compound. THC is one compound. Where I get really confused is where, I guess, is the guidance of what does one need? Like, of all this stuff, right? Like, okay, we've got THC, we've got CBD, but can you just educate me and educate the listeners on this?
Hey, Cannabis Business Minds. I wanted to invite you to a special opportunity to be part of the Cannabis Business Minds Mentorship Program. This is a 12-month program where you will get to ask questions and get advice, gain different methods and strategies, and improve key skills as an entrepreneur, all while gaining a different and fresh perspective and expanding your network and community. If you are looking to take yourself and your business to the next level, apply to join our mentorship program today.
Where, I guess, is the guidance of what does one need? Can you just educate me and educate the listeners on this?
So here's the thing. I always have to start with the Dr. Boring. I'm sorry. Like, I can't give a simple answer. So like, let me follow me here. All right. So the allopathic medical system, or the conventional medical system, right? The way that it operates is we're going to take your group of symptoms, and the way your symptoms present, we're going to give it a disease diagnosis. So that's like now your title, like that's your identity now. Based on that disease diagnosis, like, we're going to come up with a treatment protocol, and that's usually pharmaceutical. And we're going to derive this pharmaceutical from botanicals, but we're going to take the active constituents that we think are important, and we're going to compound them with some fillers and some other things into a proprietary blend that we can now patent and make a product of, make a profit off of.
Mm-hmm.
Where the system works, right?
Yeah.
As opposed to now, nutrition, right, is you take this thing that grows, you know that there's a lot of active components to it. Maybe you need all of them, maybe you don't. But you know that when you consume it, your body's smart enough to choose which part of that it needs and utilize all of it. And then again, discard the rest the way we discard everything else nutritionally without consequence, okay? Those are two completely different methodologies. It's two completely different schools of thought, period. The problem is when we should be leaning on the latter, the nutritional supplement sort of route, we're trying to go the pharmaceutical route. We're trying to say THC does this, CBD does this, CBG does this. We're going to isolate those compounds. Mm-hmm. We're going to make something out of it. And then we're going to choose for you what we think is the best for you. Mm-hmm. Because we know everything about the 430 compounds, right? The ones that we just discovered, you know, recently. Yeah. We know everything about how they work with the 300 receptor sites that we have in our body. You know, the ones that we just quantified, like just a few years ago. We know everything, right? So we're at the point where we should be isolating compounds and giving them to you. Because we know that that's the way that they, because we know that.
But that's the point, right? But then nobody challenges that methodology.
Make it make sense to me, please. If you can make it make sense to me because you know it all, I will accept it. I will accept it all day, every day.
Mm-hmm.
As a traditional naturopath, I believe in number one, living as close to nature as possible. Yeah. Number two, that there's only one illness, and that's the absence of health, whatever that means for you. I don't care what your is. I don't care. I mean, I do sort of, because it gives me an idea of like where to go with you nutritionally to try to help you get back to balance, to homeostasis. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, that's my job, is to bring, why are you not in homeostasis? You're not in balance. Yeah. Why aren't you in balance? I don't know, but talking to you and walking through this, we'll figure it out. And then we'll figure out how to gently encourage your body to do what it does naturally by introducing nutritional components that help build you. And because the key is not for you to be on something for forever. Like, I shouldn't have this supplement that I made that you need to take for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
No, but I do have this botanical that you can consume nutritionally for the rest of your life that's going to help build you, that's going to give you that homeostasis, that's going to give you that true health and healing. Like, that's where we need to go. And unfortunately, that's not the way that our medical and pharmaceutical system operates. So that's not the way that the masses want to go, because they're not a part of that school of thought. And the simplicity of it, mm-hmm. is very difficult for people to grasp sometimes.
Oh my gosh. Well, and also the simplicity of it is lost billions for pharmaceuticals.
I didn't want to say it because you brought it up.
Okay. Well, I just said it because when you were explaining all of that, you know, I kept thinking about just people that I know that are older generation that are unwilling to think about, oh, you are pre-diabetic. Why are you taking a pill that's supposed to help regulate blood sugar instead of changing your diet? And so if I guess the big question is, and maybe this is why you're at work every day, how do you change the paradigm of the masses?
I'm glad you said that, like about diabetes. And because I love to give these stories, because as a naturopath, as an herbalist, as someone who understands holistic nutrition and those types of things, I'm able to draw a picture for you, utilizing other herbs and botanicals where you can grasp the concept and it makes sense.
Yeah.
And then I like switch it to cannabis on you real quick. And then you're like, oh, wait,
like my phone.
Like, it's like the same, the same concepts. Okay. So let's just take diabetes for just 1 second. Like, follow me here real quick.
Follow
All me. Right. So your body's not producing, you know, like enough insulin, like, or whatever, and you're having like this pre-diabetic or this, you know, diabetes, like actual diagnosis. Mm-hmm. Well, there's botanicals nutritionally that, number one, regulate your blood sugar, or number two, mimic the blood sugar nutritionally to nutritionally supplement it. Mm. So like dandelion root, gymnema, bitter melon, like those things are all regulators. You can actually go into the grocery store and get dandelion greens. You can actually go to the Chinese market and get bitter melon. You can actually eat these things on a regular basis, introduce them to your diet to help them regulate that blood sugar. Then you can go in the same produce department and you can find sunchokes or Jerusalem artichokes. Oh. And you can cook those. Yeah, Jerusalem artichokes are pretty cool. They're not from Jerusalem, nor are they an artichoke. They're actually the roots of sunflowers. They're the roots of sunflowers, like the little flowers that you see, like the little sunflowers that you see growing on the side of the road. Anyways, if you dig them up, they look like a big hunk of knobby ginger. But if you cut it and cook it, it acts like a Yukon Gold potato, but like with a nuttier flavor.
Okay.
But coincidentally, the sugar that's found in there when you cook it, when it breaks down, it's almost identical to human insulin. So incorporate that into your diet as a supplement, and incorporate a couple of the regulators in your diet as a supplement. And you'll find that your body now, as opposed to, I'm getting insulin every day at this time, so I'm gonna stop producing insulin, because my brain is smart. And I know from somewhere magically, I get insulin at this time every day, so I don't need to produce it anymore. It's not a necessity. But if I'm getting it nutritionally, my body is now like, oh, I just got that. But when am I going to get more? I don't know. Maybe I should start to produce more. Maybe I've been giving a regulatory support and also a nutritional support that is gently encouraging me over time, as in my system, to produce these compounds.
Yes.
Right? Yep. It's now like this whole different, it's the same thing. Okay, same thing with cannabis. Body doesn't produce endogenous cannabinoids enough. You know what? We can nutritionally supplement them. We can actually help our body now to produce more and to know. So I say that to say this, it's a very personal experience because the research isn't out there. We don't know how many cannabinoids we need. We don't know exactly what we're deficient in. There's no test for that. We have no clue. But what we can do is introduce the whole plant compound, not an isolated constituent, the whole compound, so that our body can utilize what it needs and discard the rest without consequence.
Yeah.
And if we do that in the most like less is more type of mindset, by like microdosing, taking small amounts of the compound, because everybody's all scared of the THC, like, or whatever, like, what about the psychoactivity? Blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
First of all, raw cannabis has an acid chain attached to the THC. So it's THCA. It's not until you decarboxylate it by adding heat that the THCA drops the acid chain, turns into tetracannabidiol, and then now has the ability to speak to your receptors that excite the psychoactivity. Sorry about that boring doctor speech.
That was not boring. That's like the breakdown is THCA is like live fresh plant. Once it's smoke, sure, kind of combustible, right? Like with some form of fire turned into an oil, whatever, that's when we get THC.
That's when you get THC, and then there's the psychoactivity that everybody's scared of. But if you microdose, you're taking very small doses throughout the day, as opposed to, you know, some grandiose amount, like, or whatever, you've mitigated the risk for psychoactivity because you're not consuming enough of it to incite those psychoactive components.
Okay.
You're not, it's not enough of it. So it's just, I have to draw it back again, like just to education.
Yes.
Yeah. Like you've got to know. It's an individual experience. It's going to be trial and error, but just know it's a plant. And for the most part, as long as it's been produced in a manner that doesn't have like herbicides, pesticides, blah, 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 all these, you know, other components that can affect your health, and you're consuming it in the most natural manner possible, you can consume it without consequence. There's not going to be some like overdose or some, you know, huge detriment to your health. There's that stuff is not going to happen. Yeah. But the nutritional benefits are going to greatly outweigh anything that could possibly happen in a negative manner. And that's important to know. But, you know, people just, that school of thought's not there. There's not enough of that message being delivered right now, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting because when you just think about like the health and wellness industry in general, it's such a big industry, but I'm curious, do you just think it's not enough resources, that this is overshadowed by the pharmaceuticals, that this, there's just not enough people that are educated on this, that like, what if you could isolate it?
Yeah.
One thing about why there is a lack of perceived education, because you're an educator, right? Like you've educated my entire audience. Is it just that it's not big enough? Like, what is the probably educational conundrum?
The exact reason that I voted no on legalization, because you just give it to people, they don't think about it anymore. Like, follow me here. If the perception that's out there right now on cannabis is it's a drug, number one, you have to smoke it, number two, there's psychoactivity, number three, that's all that it's good for, right? When we started the medical cannabis movement, we all became a bunch of like pseudo researchers trying to find what resonates with us health-wise.
Yeah.
So we can get that medical recommendation, right? So we can go out and we can get that piece of paper that says, so now you've researched yourself, your conditions, your body, cannabis, how it works, that whole nine yards, right? Well, when legalization happens, we just gave it to you.
Yeah. And I think
so now you're not even worried about it anymore. You're not even thinking about it anymore. And when the perception is legalization of cannabis, it's our right. We should just be able to smoke it. Nobody is thinking about that. They don't care. Mm-hmm. The message on why we need to legalize and end prohibition is a big part about why there's a lack of education, unfortunately.
Wow. I mean, how I look at it, those three things that you said, it's completely the message. Like, if you just thought about this, like if you're trying to convince anybody of anything, you're right. There's three huge things that are just telling people like, this is what cannabis is. And it's not telling, and those are pretty kind of loud things. And I voted for legalization, but recently I've watched a few kind of thought leaders talk about, you know, I'm unhappy with legalization in the adult use of legalization, because in some respects, it's just pushed out small businesses. And that's why I got into the cannabis industry myself. Like, I was like, I've worked for corporate America. Like, I'm excited to like work in entrepreneurship and like help small businesses achieve their financial dreams. And so, you know, in states like Florida or even New York, where the barriers to entry are so high, it makes you question how legalization has been rolled out and if there is a better way to do it. And then when you think about from your health perspective of how it really, there needs to be a different paradigm discussion with consumers in those states, or if it's thinking to be legalized. I was on the plane, it was 1 year ago, and the woman that I was sitting next to was the director of education at OHSU, so Oregon Health and Science. She didn't know anything about cannabis. And I was like, hey, and I told her about the podcast. I was like, hey, I'd love to share some resources with you. And so my point to this with our discussion is that people are interested and it seems, or they're just becoming interested, but they have such a misconception.
That's it. It's the misconception. Yeah. And I go back to that. That's why, even though, I mean, let me make this clear. I voted no to legalization for the reasons that I've stated.
Yes.
I'm for legalization once we do it right. Okay. But we need to take the approach that, number one, it's an agricultural commodity. Number two, that's a nutraceutical or nutritional supplement. Until those two things are embraced, I can't be for legalization. Yeah. Just period.
Yeah.
Because we will over-regulate it and we will make it overly cumbersome. We need to simplify the conversation and give it to people in small, bite-sized, palatable pieces where they can start to understand it. It's too big right now, and the message against it is too big right now for them to understand it. We have to break it down. Again.
That's like so good. I was like thinking, I was like, okay, in my mind when you were saying that, I was like, how can we break it down? But I think even with this podcast and like having little bite-sized pieces to send people, right? Like I think that anybody listening, and I've gotten kind of out of the habit of even talking about, needs to be talking about this to everybody. Like if you're participating in the legal cannabis industry, or if you're thinking about it, you have to have these discussions with people because it's opening up their mind. Even if it's a small discussion, even if it doesn't promote your own company or your own brand, it's helping the industry rise above what it is right now. And it's a great industry, but there's so much freaking work to do.
Right. But yes, ma'am, we go right back to the beginning of the conversation where it's like, how do you get that out in 15 minutes? Because I've honed that message, boy. And I have a message for every audience. Yeah. We have to do that, though. We have to take more of like a community health education approach to it. And have a message that's ready. A message for lawmakers, a message for our family, a message for our friends. Have our little bites, our little sound bites, if you will. Ready, like in our pocket.
Throw out
massive.
Oh, yes.
You know what I mean? Like you have to have that. And that's, you know what? That's probably what makes me successful. It's probably what keeps me relevant in the industry is because I have a message and it's very consistent. Yeah. It might sound a little different depending on the audience, but the core of the message is always the same.
Yeah.
The delivery is going to be concise, to the point, and I'm going to make you feel me, period. Yeah.
Yes. Underline that, everybody, because to me, that is such an important thing is like, what is your message? What it goes back to your why. Whatever you're doing this, how do you have the why, figure out the message, and figure out the difference of how you can deliver that message to the different audiences and continue practicing, practicing, practice. If you don't have that elevator pitch as any entrepreneur, you are really putting yourself at a disservice. And especially if it's communicating the reasons for legalization of cannabis, you're putting the industry at a disservice.
Right. And that's what I figured out, you know, being a part of this movement for like the last two decades or so, you know what I mean? It's gotten to the point where, and I'm so thankful, and I'm thankful for that, for being in Jamaica right now. Because let me tell you, it's like taking all of my experience in the entire industry and being able to start over. Like, you know how they say hindsight is 2020? And like, it's like now I get to take hindsight, really? And like build something from the ground? Like start all over. Like, are you kidding me? But it's that. And it's like every other country that I visit or every other policy council that I'm asked to be on or scientific committee that I'm asked to be on or any of those things. It's like I get to now take all the experience of everything I know and everything that I've researched and start over from scratch and help somebody build, whether it's a country and a government, whether it's a company and a product, whether it's whatever it is, and build it bigger and better. These are the people that are now going to be leading this. Yeah. These are the people that are now going to be launching this thing forward. Like I had my time to go through and be an owner operator and do this and do that and like blah, 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 and figure it out, work on policy, work on this, figure it out.
Yeah.
And now I get to inject those little sound bites, if you will, into a lot of different areas and help people to understand it from the points that I've sort of broken down for you, you know, just now on this interview.
Oh my God, yes.
I'm truly passionate about and get that in there because that's what's gonna change prohibition. Mm-hmm. That's what's gonna end it.
Oh my gosh, well, you have shared so many just like gold nuggets. I wanna kind of go to the speed round, but one thing, is there anything else you wanted to share about the research that has come to light about COVID and cannabis, or kind of what you shared? Was that just kind of it?
No, because again, our endogenous cannabinoid system regulates like our inflammatory response. They mm-hmm. found that with COVID, like a lot of the negative effects have to do with the inflammatory response, like the inflammation that's caused in the system, along with the respiratory issues, which could also be drawn down to inflammatory response. Again, those regulatory thing, that part of the system of the endogenous cannabinoid system that helps with that, not only, but helps with supporting every other system in the body so mm. that you can perform optimally. Mm. It helps to sort of stave off if you did get it from you having a real negative experience with it. But even more importantly, helps again with you potentially, I have to be careful with my words because you know how yeah. they talk about things curing and you know, blah, blah, blah. So I have to be really careful with my words, but potentially not getting it in the first place. Like it's very important. My whole thought is like, don't even think about just COVID itself, because a lot of the reason that COVID is so deadly is because of the comorbidities, like the pre-existing conditions mm-hmm. that you have when you get it, yeah. that makes it worse. So maybe it's not just the COVID itself, yeah. it's everything that you have going on in your system. And then you add that on top of it yeah. and it's completely detrimental. Yeah. So let's talk about keeping you nutritionally healthy from day one.
From day one, our body's a temple and we only have one of them. So it's maybe not fun to eat spinach for a while, but you get used to it. And when you can kind of, you just, and I love it now, but like, you just have to remember that this is a whole kind of, like you said, plant nutrition and whole system that's beyond THC, beyond CBD, but much more integrated health.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. Are you ready for the speed round?
I think so.
I think I just like to dramatize it. What is your why?
Why? Because people are dying and they don't have to. If you give your body the active constituents that are required to sustain life, the vitamins, minerals, amino acids that are required for you to regrow cells and to be healthy, your body can and will repair itself in a lot of instances. Mm-hmm. Our endogenous cannabinoid system is the epicenter of homeostasis. It's the core of really optimizing our health. My why is because people are dying mm-hmm. and they don't have to.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yes. Switching gears to something a little bit more business related. What is something you would tell somebody just getting into the industry?
You're going to cry a lot. Just kidding. No. No. What I would tell somebody getting just into the industry is keep at your core what your reasons are for getting into the industry, whatever it is that resonates with you, but be willing to adapt, mm-hmm. be willing to change, be willing to reinvent yourself. Because this industry will chew you up and spit you out several times over. But if it's really what you want to do, just know that you can be successful, but you have to adapt because this industry is very volatile and yeah. it changes daily, literally. Yeah. So you got to be ready to change with it.
Yeah, that's good advice. When do you think cannabis will be legalized in the United States?
Cannabis will be legalized in the United States when we realize the nutritional necessity of supplementing the endogenous cannabinoid system and how we can really mitigate the risk of additional health and medical disparities being introduced into our population. When we understand the correlation between the endogenous cannabinoid system and supplementing it and really being able to have optimal health. Yeah. If there's one thing that people will pay their last dollar for when they're on their deathbed, yeah. you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You will pay everything that you own to have one more minute, one more day of life. If we make that make sense to people and they understand the connection, mm-hmm. that's when it change. Okay. And until then, I yeah. can't see it happening.
Yeah. I think that it gives people an idea of what needs to still be done mm-hmm. instead of like, oh, if the federal government just needs to legalize. No, we need to really work on our messaging. We need to really work on kind of reframing these things and ultimately kind of changing a system, which I really like. How can people find out about you?
You can go to drlakeisha.com. That's my website. So that's easy to find out about me. Any of my social medias, I put out a lot of content because I like to educate people. Yes. I put out a lot of articles and information and those types of things, you know, to help you understand these concepts a little bit better. Yes. So really the best way is either drlakeisha.com, my website, or, you know, I'm @ Dr. Lakeisha on all social media. I keep it super simple. DrLakeisha.com or @DrLakeisha on all social media. That's the best way to find out about me.
Awesome.
Or Google.
Well, excellent. And I like that. You've said keep it simple often throughout this interview. And I think sometimes we need to remember that overcomplicating things doesn't necessarily make it faster.
No, definitely not. I mean, we need to go back to our roots, go back to nature. Like even like, let's go to the spiritual part of it. Like when people go on their spiritual journey, like what do they have to do? They have to go within their self. Mm-hmm. It doesn't take everybody. It doesn't take all the masses. If you really want to connect with you, you have to go into you. And that's the simplicity of it. It starts with us. It starts with just us understanding ourselves mm-hmm. and then helping others to understand themselves. Less is more a lot of times, even with cannabis and microdosing.
Yes. Oh, Dr. Lakeisha, thank you so much for joining Cannabis Business Minds. I hope that we can have another call or another kind of session. I feel like we didn't get it to even talk about like the mind relationship, the mind body. I'm sure you have so much insight there. I can't wait. I hope that you'll accept another interview at one point.
Of course. This was fun, actually. I really appreciate it. And it was a fun way to educate people. Like, thank you for letting me share my passion, you know, in a very candid way. Like, I really appreciate the platform. Thank you.
Oh, yes. You're very welcome. And that was such a good interview with Dr. Lakeisha Jenkins. I hope that you get to connect with her and connect with me and other entrepreneurs in our Roadmap to Success Facebook group. It's just incredible some of the work that people in this industry are doing, forgetting the business side of it, but the health side of it. We at Cannabis Business Minds, wherever you're working, everywhere in the world right now, you know, stress and anxiety, like they're palpitating and they're hard to deal with, right? Knowing that we work in an industry with such great people like Dr. Lakeisha and the people of you all that are listening as well, that are working every day to make sure that people have health and wellness available to them and that are providing a solution, it really warms my heart. I really believe y'all, we still do have work to do since this is federally illegal. And I truly hope you can join me and other cannabis entrepreneurs in having that discussion on legalizing cannabis and really figuring out a way where it truly makes sense, along with building the business of our dreams while it's still federally illegal. So I will talk to you all next week and see you soon.